Okay, I think we were discussing, I want to try to finish off just a little bit of what we were discussing and then to relate to a related topic, which we'll also get back to a little bit later on during the year, as you'll see. Okay, so I think we were discussing the, well, we began with the Rambam in Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel, and we were talking about the concept of tshuva when it comes to Deos and Machshavos, connecting to Psukim, Dershu Hashem Behimatzot, and oh, thank you. Midarkon Ish Aven Machshavosav, and more particularly, I was trying to develop the. In the 2 Mondays ago, and then again a little bit last week on Tuesday, we didn't have so much time to try to explain that, at least for the Rambam, that there is certain consistency in his perspective, and that the Rambam considered what the Rambam describes in Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel, and earlier in Perek Dalet Halacha Hey, and earlier in Hilchos Deos, is also what he is getting at later. In Hilchos, the end of Hilchos Tumas Ochlim and the end of Mikvos, that's I think I've done on Tuesday, right? And several places actually in Mor Nevuchim as well. That is that the idea of Taharas HaNefesh, you know, for the Rambam, is about Tikkun Deosav U'Machshavosav. It's really about, you know, forming a certain kind of Avodas Hashem persona. And again, also in the end of Hilchos Macholos Asuras and Hilchos Shechita, the end of Hilchos Shechita, which is part of Lehida Mos, and which is really a separate aspect of Avodas Hashem. There's the Maisa Mitzvos, and then there is the you know, the religious personality. Again, this is separate from the idea of Emunos Videos, which is also a critical aspect in the Rambam. Again, we'll get to that in Chulin also. Namely, the idea of the things you're obligated to believe, like the Rambam Yud Gimel Ikarim, that the Rambam develops in the Akdama, you know, to Pirshim Shnayis and Sanhedrin Perek Chelek, and that he repeats again in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah. And again, we'll have a chance to revisit because it touches on the status of Mumar Kofar Ligabe Shechita, so we'll actually be discussing that again. But I do think that the Rambam. Is absolutely Lashitoso on two aspects. Number one, the fact that even though we're not dealing with Deos, Emunos the Deos, in other words, what every Jew is obligated to believe, but the idea that every Jew is obligated to cultivate a certain kind of personality, you know, in terms of Midos, that's meaning of Derech and Machshava, which the Rambam uses in these contexts. That's certainly, again, totally consistent with the Rambam's emphasis also on Emunos and Deos, namely the idea that, you know, that separate from, probably connected to, you know, Tarryag Mitzvos, and certainly one of the things that Tarryag Mitzvos does is that it impels us, right, to think critically about what our, you know, purpose is, you know, the purpose of our existence, and to... you know, through imitatio dei, you know, through imitating the Rabbanu Shalom to the extent that that is possible, again, to transform ourselves into beings that are worthy of being B'Tzelem Elokim. So that has to do with Deos Nechonos, meaning Emunos Nechonos, certain beliefs, which the Rambam thinks affects the, you know, quality of your heart and your mind, and is also a prerequisite, you know, for a certain kind of attainments, you know, that are religiously significant, things like Nevuah, the Rambam's famous view in Mor Nevuchim, and the degree of the Hashgacha that you are accorded, you know, and many other things. So all of that, again, the cultivation of the right views and your intellectual perfection It's not just about your level. It's about, you know, what you actually believe and what you promote. But side by side with that is, you know, living a certain kind of life and developing, you know, a personality which, you know, whose, you know, midos, tovos, you know, reflect a, you know, divinely driven, you know, a divine suffused, you know, kind of existence. And that's, of course, you know, what we've been talking about in terms of, you know, the Mida Beinonis, you know, the Derech HaMelech, avoiding too much kas and too much, you know, shvelus, although they're not the same, heavy ma'od shafel, but all of that is consistent with the Rambam's view that alongside Maisa Mitzvos and also promoted and cultivated by them, right, are these two things, namely the right beliefs, you know, and also the right kind of personality. It's also consistent, as I was saying before, both times, 2 Mondays ago and last Tuesday, that the Rambam's view of Hilchos Tshuva as something which isn't just about narrowly confronting and, you know, overcoming, you know, the perils of Chet, and even neutralizing Chet, but that, you know, Hilchos Tshuva, you know, is about also an avoda that it's in Sefer Mada, it's the crescendo of Sefer Mada, and then in Perek Zayin in particular is about I don't know why I don't have the Rama. You know, doing that in a way that makes a Baal Tshuva even meula, even, you know, greater in some respects from a tzaddik gamor, that, you know, this idea of applying tshuva, you know, beyond chataim, you know, to the personality of the Oved Hashem, as well as his deos, is part and parcel, you know, not only of the significance of those two things, but of tshuva being a mechanism or a framework in which avodas Hashem is pursued. So that's really what we were pursuing. And I was trying to show from Tumas Oakland and Mikvos and some of the others that the Rambam is very consistent about this idea of Taharas HaNefesh. And that is meant to contrast, I alluded to it, with other views. The view that the Rambam himself quotes in Perikei Halacha Beis when he talks about Bichira Chavshis, the view of those who think that man doesn't have sovereignty over, you know, what he thinks, you know, and his personality or his inclinations, right? The dea that, you know, that is something he can't be held responsible for because, you know, he doesn't control it. And that's a whole literature, as we mentioned, the Ibn Ezra, the Chinuch, the Ramban, and others who disagree on that particular point. I'll try to show in a minute that at least on the level of Hir Hurim, that the Rabbeinu Bachya in the Kara Kemach, you know, attributes that idea to the Ramban. It's a little bit, I think it's very foreign to the Ramban. I'll explain in a few minutes. But he thinks that that's, you know, why the Ramban takes a kind of minimalist view about the related status of a third issue. That's in addition to Embunos. In addition to what we'd be calling Machshavos and Deos, what about the question of Hirhure Avera, right? Very specifically, you know, not acting upon, but, you know, being drawn to or thinking about, or in some cases even planning to do Averas. What is the status of Hirhure Avera? Since we're talking about Emunos, so we're talking about, you know, personalities, what about Machshavos, Chet? I want to talk about that as well. So the Ramban, as we'll soon see, and this is mostly known to us from the Kara Kemach, there's some debate whether the Ramban really said this or he's saying in the name of the Rambam. The Rav Shavel, who put this version of the Kara Kemach out, says it's Pashut that he's talking about the Ramban, not the Rambam, and the language that he uses. But we don't have this Ramban explicitly, you know, the way that it's formulated here anywhere else. I'll just read one line. I'll get back to the other part of it later. But the problematic line. So it's just fascinating that this would be attributed to the Ramban, even though I think it's very... Nira Midas Harav, it's a Ramban, here's on page In the Karakemach, it's in, interestingly enough, Tahara Salev, the entry of Tahara Salev, which happens to fit very well with the Tahara Sanefesh that we've been discussing in the Rambam. He says, Havalarava Godol Haramban, Piresh, Hirhure Aveira, I'll get back to the context in a few minutes. Koshin Me Aveira, that's a Gemara in Yoma, on Chavtesamid Aleph. He says that that's only true, Achar Maisa Aveira. Shekivin Sha'asa Aveira Kvar, which is not the pshat, simple pshat in the Gemara. Shekivin Sha'asa Aveira Kvar, Ba'odu Maharaba, Bazeu, Koshin Migufa Aveira Atzma. This is what he's quoting in the name of the Ramban, Rabba Gadol HaRamban. We'll get back to that. Fine. Then he adds, after quoting this, that near Midas HaRav, ki kivin shehirhur, Eino biyad ha'adam, eino b'ze'onesh, kodem ma'isaveir. Then he goes on to say, b'ze'tema, ki lama lo ye'onesh, bihir hurav ha'ra'im, b'machshava bovad b'lo ma'isa. V'hu metame nafsho ha'sichlis b'hem, k'mo she'ezkarti l'malo. Aval yeshlomar b'yikar davar, and then he has his own suggestion along these lines, which I will get back to in just a couple of minutes. But the point I'm trying to make is that this idea that people can't be held accountable for either their behavior or their machshavos is something that Rabbeinu Bachya, who is a Talmud, and who basically in everything that he writes is Perush al Torah. If you're familiar with it, the Katekemach, which is an early hashkafic encyclopedic work. It's like an amazing thing. Again, it's mostly a quotation of Midrashim and, sprinkled with Perushim and things like I just read, which are invaluable. But the idea that he would attribute to the Ramban, he doesn't quote that in the name of the Ramban. What he quotes in the Ramban is that the Ramban is downgrading the idea of Hirhure Aveira relative to Averos, and he's saying that they're not subject per se unless it's Hirhurim Achar HaAveira, Achar Asiyas HaAveira, to Onshim. So he's just like, Tamua, why wouldn't you? But the idea that he would suggest for the Ramban that that's because you're not responsible or accountable legally for your thoughts is interesting. And as I say, we talked about the Ibn Ezra and Sefer Chinuch, and this is like a very big issue. The Ramban, of course, knows that the Torah legislates in the area of emotions and of beliefs. It could be that, he kind of hints at what he thinks is the solution to that problem, namely when there are isurim or mitzvos that are particularly related to Machshava, like intrinsically related to Machshava. So then the Torah obviously assumes, projects, or requires, that we, undertake like an extraordinary effort, to be able to create, a certain reality in which we can control our own, not only behavior, but our thoughts as well. That's what he, kind of refers to. He talks about Machshava Savad Zara, we'll see soon Rashi's comment on the Gemara with regard to Hirhure Agili Arayos. But Stam, Hirhur, some mitzvahs in the Torah which aren't, explicitly focused on Isuri Machshava, so to have Hirhure Aveira in those areas, I guess you have haven't spent a life, or it's not connected to other, mitzvos or, kedusha, issues, such that you should have sovereignty, over yourself, in those areas, and therefore, in that situation, you're not responsible, or not responsible enough to be nanash. That's just fascinating. Again, this is a Talmud, muvak of the Ramban. Speaking, about what he thinks is the Ramban's view, what he thinks is incorrect about, you know, the Ramban's view. Again, I don't think that that's what the Ramban really had in mind, even what he said. I hope to get back to that when we, not today, then another time. But it's an example of, it's not just, you know, the Rambam, you know, telling you about, you know, people who, you know, were tipshim, or again, the, you know, Chinuch is very dismissive of people, you know, who, you know, project that, you know, it's impossible to control or to legislate in the area of emotions, and others, you know, as well. This is the Rav Beinu Bachya saying it for the Ramban, albeit, I'm suggesting at least, in a much, much, much more limited fashion. But either way, this is one perspective, which the Ramban, of course, which the Rambam, of course, and others, you know, are forceful in rejecting that idea. The other one is, as I think I already also mentioned, and that is the comment also of the of Rabbeinu Bachya, also one that he rejects, and that is the idea that ein toelet vehefsed bazeh, you know, rak demasim. That's a comment that he makes in the entry, not about taharas, you know, haguf, but about inyane Rosh Hashanah. Now, there he quotes the view that, you know, there are some people who think that, you know, that it just doesn't, you know, that's not an area of religious concern. Not that you can't do it, you know, but that we don't care about it. And as I say, that's a fascinating point as well. And again, he strongly rejects it. He says it's not true. But how many times have we encountered an exaggerated expression of the Maisa orientation of Yahadus? As it is totally true that relative to other religions, that distinguishing Judaism from other religion is this focus on norms and measurable norms and actions, you know, and measurable actions, you know, and so on. There's no other religion, you know, that has this kind of comprehensive, you know, legal code, you know, in all areas, and that focuses so much on technical, you know, mitzvos and averos. It's absolutely, absolutely true. sometimes Yahadus is lauded for this, and sometimes it's criticized for it. Sometimes people laud and criticize, you know, at the same time, you know, especially when, you know, when they, you know, can exploit, you know, some of these factors. So on the one hand, again, Christianity, you know, and, you know, later Reform Judaism and other deviationist groups were very critical of the Maisa orientation of Yahadus. And, you know, the words of the Navi, you know, about the danger of, well, they were arguing not just the danger, they were saying this is what it ends up generating, mitzvot anashim belumada. You know, the idea that you can, if you focus more on objective performances, you know, then in theory you can end up, you know, with a religion, you know, that's not demanding or not focusing on the inner experience, you know, and on spirituality. So, you know, over the years we've heard, you know, much about this from outside and inside, you know, critics of Yahadus. The real approach, of course, is that the Navi was criticizing as an insider. What he was saying was, you know, there's, to use the Rav's expression, you know, there's supposed to be often a Maisa mitzvah and a Kiyama mitzvah. You know, it's not that you don't do the actions, you know, irrespective of what your emotions are, what your experience is. It's that you want to concretize those experiences and actions. You want to give them concrete form. And by doing so, you're also probably projecting that they have a certain intrinsic value. Moreover, the chinuch that we mentioned the other day, achar ha-ma'asim, you know, holchim ha-machshavot, that concreteness and the behavioristic aspect of it, you know, enhances the machshava. But of course, it's part of the greatness of Yahados is this combination. The fact that it isn't just abstract, you know, it's not just ethical monotheism or some broad commitment to fairness or morality, but that it expresses itself, you know, through very specific things, and it makes demands upon us. So we, you know, we seize both, you know, the maisim and the pu'ulos, as well as the machshavos, the deos and the machshavos. Again, you know, the in the name of Moses Mendelssohn, they quote, you know, being, you know, critical of the way that, you know, that the Rambam demands, you know, Yud Gimel Ikare Emuna, you know, that Judaism is an action-oriented religion, and that, you know, what they say in his name is that the single dogma, you know, of Judaism is its dogmalessness. So that's, you know, a very inaccurate, exaggerated statement. It is true, you know, that again, unlike other religions, that we're very focused on specifics and concrete actions, etc. And that's also something that democratizes and gives access, in other words, to all of Klal Yisrael, you know, because, you know, even if you're not, you know, a makubal or a philosopher, you know, and you're more limited in your focus, you know, there's great toelis in doing the pu'ulos and doing the mitzvos. But that's a far cry from saying, you know, that you, you know, that if you're orthodox in your practice, that you don't need to believe in things, right? I mean, the Rambam obviously formulated Yud Gimel Ikare Emuna, and as he did in everything that he did, you know, including, you know, discussing, you know, Basar Taiva B'Midbar, he made his contribution, you know, and in some cases revolutionized the way that we look at certain things. But as in all those cases, it's all an expansion, and it's all built on, you know, the Makoros of Chazal with his own special contribution, like all Chachmei HaMesorah. So, of course, we know that there are necessary beliefs, of course, beginning in Torah itself with Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you know, right at the very beginning. And I always like to explain that the discussion between, for another time to be expanded, but between the Rambam and the Bahag, whether you count Anochi Hashem Elokecha in the Minyan Taryag, is an interesting, you know, very important and interesting and a little bit ironic, you know, of an argument. Because, you know, again, the Bahag, as the Ramban explains it, says that we don't count, you shouldn't count Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Minyan Taryag, because it's really the foundation of everything else, and it kind of trivializes it, not the way he formulates it, but there's the idea behind it. It trivializes Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you know, to put it with, you know, simple Maisa Mitzvos, I guess, or to imply that it's just one of 613. And the Rambam, of course, is very insistent, you know, that this is the first of Tariq Mitzvos. So it's a little, I always thought it was a little ironic, you know, because nobody is more sensitive than the Rambam, you know, in the world of Jewish thought, you know, to the idea that Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you know, is more significant and just different, you know, from typical, you know, Maisa Mitzvos. The Rambam didn't have to be, you know, lectured to, you know, by the Bahag or even later by the Ramban, you know, on that topic. And yet, he's very insistent. And I think, you know, that it's a function of two things. Number one, the importance of Maisa Mitzvos, and that unique contribution that Yahadus and the world of Halacha makes, you know, to meaningful and religious life. Meaning it's not, you know, the other Taryav Mitzvos, some of them are also also about Machshavos and so on, and Deos, are each, you know, a nugget, each a gift from the Rabbanu Shalom. It's like Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos, as Yisrael. They're all Torah Mishamayim, and they all have, you know, infinite significance. So it's not a trivialization of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. More importantly, and I think these are just overlapping ideas, by setting the tone with Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you know, not only do you establish that, you know, Maisa Mitzvos are transcendent, but you also establish that, you know, that we should be cognizant of that transcendence, and that there should be a relationship, you know, between Anochi Hashem Elokecha and the rest of the Taryav Mitzvos. In other words, we don't draw this dichotomy, you know, between the actions and the beliefs or the experiences. And that is really what's singular about Yahadus. So in the world of the Rambam, you know, Maisa Mitzvos, beliefs, and, you know, personality development, you know, Machshavos and Deos in that sense, you know, are different, and they're distinctive, and they're also very much interrelated. They're all part of Tariq Mitzvos, many of them, and they're all a part of religious development. It's not accurate, in my opinion, to say for the Rambam that the Maisim merely, the Pe'ulos and the Maisim, you know, merely contribute to or concretize the Machshavos. You know, nor is it true, you know, that the Machshavos, you know, provide, you know, something more accessible, you know, to what otherwise are, I guess, you know, just sivuye Hashem, you know, gzeros, you know, which don't have their own meaning and significance. Rambam understands that these are different categories, and he also appreciates, you know, the overlap. Just like the Rambam, you know, understood that there was a difference, emphasis in Essen and Lavin, you know, and that the different forms, even within Essen and Lavin, you know, represent different, you know, paradigms of religious belief, as we've been discussing and demonstrating, you know, in the Rambam itself. But for other Mefarshim, in some cases at least, they drew the line in different places, or they thought that the emphasis, you know, was different. And that's why that line in the Katekemach for the Ramban, even though I don't buy it for the Ramban, you know, is interesting. And that's why, again, the acknowledgement of Ein Toeles, you know, Chutz Min HaMaisim, is interesting. What's ironic about, you know, people who reject the Masorah and who reject, you know, halachic life, we have describing it, is that you really have, you know, people mikatzeh el katzeh, and sometimes they say the same thing, even though they're totally opposite. Meaning you have people who will say, you know, that being a good Jew, you know, they used to call them back in the day cardiac Jews, you know, that being a good Jew is somebody who has a good heart, you know, that he means well, like he's an ethical, you know, monotheist. He, you know, he's moral, he's, you know, he's spiritually oriented, you know, he's generous, you know, etc. I mean, that's basically what the Reform movement, you know, was pushing. And then you have, you know, but the details, you know, those were meant for a certain time. Again, just kind of like the Christian critique, you know, in a real sense. But then you have equally people who will tell you that, you know, to be a good Jew is to, you know, is to act like a Jew, to do good works and to do the mitzvahs. There are even people who count themselves as halachic or orthodox, you know, who define that in a very limited way, particularly Bizmanenu, we have this, but not for the first time. You know, orthodox practice without being, you know, value based in orthodoxy. In other words, I'm orthodox because I go to shul, because I mostly am Shomer Shabbos, you know, and so on and so forth. Maybe even every, you know, diktuke, one of the diktuke mitzvahs. But if you get your values, you know, from the larger society, you know, whatever that larger society is, even when there's an incompatibility, you know, between those values and, you know, what we understand to be the implications of the Shmiras HaMitzvos, right, that is problematic. So that, in a way, you know, one perspective is saying, you know, again, you have all three perspectives. You have people who tell you that, you know, especially in our age, that, you know, you can't control what people think, you can't control what people do, there's even less responsibility that people have personal inclinations or social the effect of the society in which you live, the aviram, the sviva. Again, that's very much a trend in modern society, taking away responsibility. You know, whenever there's either a genetic, you know, predisposition or a social one, Yah just totally rejects that. That's, you know, that's the Rambam comment, you know, in Hebeis and so on. Then you have the other perspective, you know, that, well, all you really need to do are pe'ulos. There's no to'eles to makshavos, maybe not even to behavior. Because Yah, this is about keeping taryag mitzvos. And, you know, maybe there is, you know, nothing, you know, more than that. Again, the, you know, the reform, the, you know, I'm sorry, the Shai Leibowitz, you know, camp, the, you know, the orthodox of practice versus orthodox values people, etc. And then you have the third group, which basically says that you know, all you care about is machshavos, right? All you care about is these broad principles, and that's, I say, that's the outsider and insider critiques of Christianity and Reform, etc. All shomrei mitzvos and shomrei halacha, you know, reject these three ideals, but the extent to which they balance or integrate, you know, emunos, deos and machshavos, using it in the Rambam's, you know, taharas hanefesh sense, and the pu'ulos of maisa mitzvos, that there is significant discussion about. And these topics, you know, is there tshuva for machshavos and drachim and irhure machshava, etc., really kind of go to the heart and core of that. I mean, how much of these are counted in taryag or separate from taryag. All these other arguments are really arguments about this. The Rambam, as I say, is just singular in, on the one hand, identifying, you know, separate, independent, like, types and categories, and at the same time understanding that each one is indispensable and that there's also interaction and overlap between them. His view on Hirhure Aveira, which I hope to get to in just a minute, is a very good example of that as well. But in terms of the relationship between, you know, behavior, akshava, like the religious personality, and Maisa Mitzvos and Maisa Averos, you certainly do get in the Rishonim, you know, formulations that are less about, you know, each category being, you know, intrinsically significant, albeit different, and there are some that definitely seem to focus, while acknowledging that, you know, you can't, you know, live a full Jewish life without doing both or all three of these, you know, but in terms of what's Ikar and Tafel, for example, you do have different different formulations, you know, when it comes to that. So, for example, the Meiri, in his Kibra Tshuva, and in Sugin Kedushin Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, Kibra Tshuva, it's on, I think, page 170, maybe. I'll look at it in a second. I have to hear, but we're running out of time. And the, I'd say, in this Perush on Kedushin, very much sees, just formulates at least, you know, the idea that machshavos, you know, have impact and effect, masin. Again, almost an opposite. I don't think this is argument about it at all, frankly. There's an argument on emphasis. You know, what the Meiri, what the Chinuch says, you know, about the impact of pu'ulos on maisim, you know, implying in a way that the ikar, you know, that the methodology is the pu'ula and the makshava is the, you know, is the payoff, the spiritual payoff. So in a way, the Meiri says exactly the opposite. Meiri, in a bunch of places, but not in all places. Some places in Chibar Tshuva he doesn't go with this. But his inclination in a bunch of places, at least default, is to think that you know, that rigorous halachic behavior and promoting the right kind of makshavos are particularly significant because of the impact that they have on mas, and that, you know, deos ra'os are in particular problematic, you know, because they are the shoresh and the, you know, the causal relationship, in other words, of Maisim Roim. So, for example, I think I have this book here a little bit. Or let's see if I can find it just quickly, just one quote. For example, the Meiri says here, this is the Meiri in Chibra Tshuva. Ubal machshava ra lo yagish mitzad she'ena osa aveira, v'hi-hi ha-mivi'oso legufa aveira, she'machshava shoresh ha-chet, v'hi min ha-dvarim she'bal tshuva tzorech ma'od li'yizahar mahem, l'chadeshu l'taher machshavosav. V'hu she'hisir v'amar yazav rosh ha-darko v'ish avin machshavosav. V'al ze amar kina taiva kavod motzines adam in ha-olam, v'al derech ha-emes heim shoresh l'rov ha-avonos. This is Chibra Tshuva, page 101. So this is a statement which doesn't speak about, even when it comes to, it's interesting, kina taiva v'kavod, which might be under the rubric of more intrinsic, you know, evils, you know, in their own right, b'toras machshava, not just that they have a greater impact or effect on what people are likely to end up doing. The Meiri's default view, you know, is to see machshavos as a, you know, as a facilitator of masim. Again, exact opposite in a way, interestingly, of the Sefer HaChinuch. In Kiddushin Mem Aleph Omen Aleph, Lo'olam Yehei Adam Zahir B'midosav, Shehein Hein, before he was talking about Machshavos, here it's Midosav, Hein Hein Amavios Legufei Ho'averos, O'askuyos. Again, for the Rambam, I just don't think he would have formulated it that way. Right, I don't know about never, maybe it depends on the audience and the context, but I mean, for the Rambam, it's, you know, if anything, the opposite, or more likely, just, you know, these are two dinim, just the, you know, the machshava in its own right is something which is intrinsically important, you know, the tova and lira'ah. Derech ha'ara matimin lo la'adam miprimasa ba'olam hazeh, im ragzanu arekaso mivili deitos v'kalon, im onavu anvan sanuso, kavod anava. So these are just examples where you have this formulation. On the other hand, a more complex formulation can be found in Rabbeinu Bachya, in Karakemach, where he speaks about, again, the impact of makshava on the guf, but in such a way that it neither has the exact status of an intrinsic least significant category, but it's also not just a facilitator either. It also it attains the status b'toras shoresh shel ha'avonos v'hachataim, right? That kind of concretizes its status as makshava. In other words, if it remained only makshava, it sounds like it wouldn't, you know, be independently or intrinsically objectionable, or at least not to the point of requiring tshuva, or being considered, you know, a satellite avon. But the fact that it's a mivioso lidei averos shebeguf is not just a facilitating function, but that itself kind of raises the profile. It's a shiur, if you will, in the concreteness and the intrinsic status of the Isur Machshava. That sounds complicated, but I think what he's saying. Mefishi yesh kama b'nei adam sheim svurim she'ein to'el, is the line I mentioned before, she'ein to'el es v'hefsid b'machshava salev, ki'im b'dibur u'b'po'al. The davar yadua, when he's trying to say that's wrong, right, he could have just said, well, because Machshava is intrinsically significant, which is what the Rambam would have said. He says, v'davar yadua ki ikar Simchas haguf v'tzaro tliyim belibo. Sounds like he's starting to say that. V'im kein haresha machshava mitpa'elet beguf. Ah, that's already a little bit of a functional or facilitating element, machshava's impact on the guf, kefi atzar o kefi asimcha, right? V'hamofes al zeh, kosev she'amar lev sameach yitav panim, ikar tanug aguf yagia misimchas alev, ki alev shoresh, v'hamachshavos mistargos mimenu ka'anafim, ha'mistargim bishoresh ha'ilah. U'kishem she'mizgala ha'anafim, banafim, koach ha'shoresh, shahoye v'olach luches, ken yizgalu bifnim machshavos alev. Halamarta mizeh, shahamachshava hara'a chet gadol hu, v'onsho rav, ki'ilu chata b'foal, v'kama b'bnei adam shem sovrim kein. So this is fascinating because he doesn't say, you know, one of two extremes. He doesn't say, well, this is kind of like the Meiri before, this brings lidei averos, and therefore, even if it's not intrinsically an avera, right, it's something which, you know, on a practical level, on a policy level, right, you need to neutralize, maybe even neutralize more than actual averos because, you know, it leads to that. He doesn't say that. He also doesn't say that, you know, even more than the avera or separate from the avera, right, the machshava ra'a is objectionable in terms of man's status as a tzelem elokim, man's aspiration, you know, to be part of the, you know, the nation of being a mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh or lihidamos l'Hashem, you know, the things that the Rambam says about you know, tohar hanefesh, he's not saying that either. What he does say is the fact that it is mevia lidei chet, right, shows you that machshava ra is itself a chet gadol va'ansho rav ki'ilu chata b'foa. What do you mean ki'ilu chata b'foa? Right? So I think what he's saying is that, you know, if it were possible, if machshava was something that remained, you know, machshava, right, then maybe it wouldn't achieve sufficiently, at least in the area of averos, it wouldn't achieve sufficient, you know, concreteness, prominence, you know, that it would be viewed in that way. But the fact that machshava is mitpa'elet beguf, the fact that these tchumim overlap with each other, is something that, you know, is something that qualifies machshava in its own right as something which is a davar pagum or a dvar avera, not just a dvar avera. In a way, ironically, you know, machshava hara chet gadol hu v'ansho rav ki'ilu chata b'foa. Right. So the point is that the impact that it has highlights, you know, the seriousness or the stature, you know, that it has within man's existence. And that in turn, you know, not because it's going to be maybe avonos, it's a shiur in its own kovet, if you will, its own stature, and its own intrinsic. So again, what you see in the Rishonim is the struggle, right, the nuanced way the different Rishonim try to explain the relationship between these different elements. Okay. So having said that, I want to turn my attention, you know, stop in a minute, to hear Hure Avera, because I think that is a little bit, well, there are probably more than one category within here, Hure Avera. But so far we've been talking about a little bit about, you know, Emunos, you know, Nechonos, a little bit. A little more about, you know, the religious personality of being a Kas person or a Kina person or a, you know, an Akzari person, et cetera, a div person in the good way, mostly. What about Hirhure Avera itself? So there are two Gemaras. I'm just going to start this now. We'll try to finish it next time, even though, again, these are massive topics. The Gemara in Masechet Yoma and Daf Chavtes Amud Aleph has a famous line, which you can imagine became just an opening. You know, it's a window, you know, that was, you know, tempting for all the Mefarshim, or for many Mefarshim. Hirhure Avera, Kashu Me'avera. the famous Gemara that says that Hirhuri Aveira is kasha, more difficult. Is kasha the same as chamur? Good question. So is this a pragmatic statement? And which Hirhuri Aveira are we talking about? Rashi, for example, Al-Atar, says that it's taivas nashim, right? Kasha l'hakhishas besaro, yoser migufa shomaisa. So Rashi has a very limited and very pragmatic, you know, read of this particular Gemara. Meaning there are, number one, areas in which the halacha itself focuses on the makshava directly. We talked about emuna and avodah zarah, you know, v'ahavta Hashem elokecha, yiras Hashem, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, lo sisos achicha b'lavecha, right, lo sachma l'olavin meses. There are areas, as we know, there are, you know, mitzvos that are connected to machshava, possibly lo sachma, lo sasabe, two other things. So when we talk about hirhurei aveira, you know, are we talking about those areas? Moreover, there are areas in life. Again, well, let me just make clear: lo sasuru acharei levavchem acharei nechem, right? Asher atem zonim achareihem. Certainly, prominently refers also to the area of znus and gilia rayos. Number one, are we talking about those? Moreover, even talking about Rashi, even separate from the group, which, you know, are averos or mitzvos shel machshava, right? There are, you know, in the experience of human nature, it's clear that there are areas, you know, which are particularly prone, you know, to obsessive behavior. And unfortunately, you know, we see this all the time. People act irrationally. You know, people, the level of control that people have is highly challenged in these areas. You know, of course, Gilia Rayos, not being the only one, but certainly being the foremost, you know, among them. Are we only talking about that? You know, again, also where the anticipation and the you know, the obsession in some respects outstrips, you know, the Aveira itself. That's what Rashi means. Not talking about necessarily the category, Los Asuru, but Tavas Noshim Koshim Lahakheshas Besaro, Yosir Bigufo Shomaisa, right? The sense of anticipation, the sense of obsession. That's a second category. Or are we talking about all Hirhurei Aveira? Right? The Rambam's view in Mor Nebuchim, the Rambam says, oh, I'm going to tell you the secret of this Gemara, that Hirhurei Aveira Koshu Me'Aveira has to do with the fact that the Machshava, you know, is focused on the Seichel Ha'adam. You know, that's a particularly spiritual, you know, Tzelem Elokim-esque, you know, function of man, as opposed to physical Ma'is Averos, which are part of the Chomer. Now, this is, you know, Tzura, this is Eloki, this is, you know, Seichel, and, you know, Guf Ma'is Averos are Guf, they're Behemi, you know, they're physical, they're more limited, you know, in terms of their effect. No, so the Rambam understood that this is a major statement, again, about splitting, you know, two aspects of the human personality and two aspects of the world of mitzvahs. And he's just saying, you know, the Tzelem Elokim, Eloki, you know, Sichli, you know, all that part, you know, the expectations are greater, you know, for proper, you know, religious conduct and behavior and growth. And therefore, the violations are more significant, you know, as well. So that's a different perspective. That has nothing to. That's not limited to taivas nashim, or to categories of mitzvos that themselves are machshava focused and oriented. Rambam is saying this is a principle throughout about you know, about which, you know, element, which component, you know, in man's complex nature, you know, is being corrupted, you know, and the gap, as I say, between the expectation, you know, and the disappointed reality. So that's a totally different shot. Then you have the Ramban, we're going to stop here, we'll talk about it next time, who says, you know, what Rabbeinu Bechai, Rabbeinu Bach, you know, whatever you want to call him, you know, quotes of before, namely, that this doesn't mean what it says. What it means is if you do a Maisa Avera, and then, you know, there's Hirhure Avera in addition, you know, so that's Kasha, that adds, you know, you might think that the Hirhure part, you know, doesn't add to the Avera, you know, but it does. But in its own right, it's not true, you know, because it's another Gemara. That's the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Mem Aleph, which says that Machshava Ra in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarfo L'maisa. So I think this is, again, just an excellent little window. I want to talk about some of the approaches to this and the Tshuva, and especially the Ramban, approach to Hirhure Machshava in the context of Ola, Korban Ola's famous parish on Vayikra. Again, a topic which we'll discuss in Chulin also when we get to Daf Hey. But so we'll pick up with this next time.
Why would you say then that the Ramban disagrees? Isn't that what, why would you say the Ramban disagrees with the reading?